Okay, well, thank you all. I am delighted to be with you all tonight. My name is Andrea Pellegrin, as Mary said, and I'm married to Pete, and we have been married for 23 years. And we have three splendid kids, Abby, Elijah, and Joshua. We also have some cats and chickens. We have been attending The Rock for almost 17 years and have been incredibly blessed by the pastor's teachings and the friends that God has given us that are like family. This evening, we are continuing to learn about biblical womanhood and what that looks like. Titus 2:3-5 tells us, "Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way that they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God." Well, last year when I spoke, I shared the funny story of how I had asked God not to ever have me in talk in front of a group of ladies because I could never do that. And I definitely still had reservations about doing it again this year. And even more so when I was given the talk of self-control. What I have discovered is that I am in deep waters and sometimes what seems like chaotic waters. But God, in his infinite wisdom, has shown me that I am to live in deep dependence on him. He is my lifeline. My eyes need to be fixed on Jesus rather than the wind and the waves of negative thoughts. This is how I can be at peace, trusting in his perfect strength to calm the stormy sea of my mind. Through studying this topic of self-control, I've learned that I need to furnish my mind with the truth. We homeschool our kids, and I found that teaching the art and skill of writing is something that cannot be rushed, and that I, as the teacher, furnish my kids' minds with the tools necessary for accomplishing the task of writing. As I was preparing this talk, I thought of all the ways that God gives us the furnishings for our minds and thoughts to be stayed in him. So tonight I'm going to try to help us find the tools to furnish our minds by learning first what self-control related to our thoughts is, second, how to practice it, and third, the fruit of it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for bringing us all here tonight. I pray that whatever I speak would come from you, that you would give us teachable hearts, that we would go away being able to accomplish at least one thing that you have for us, and that we would hold on to that and see the fruit of it later in our lives. In your name, amen. Okay, so our first point is defining self-control. So I want to define what that is related to our thoughts. It is a choice not to think or do something. It is not on our own strength. It is how we glorify God, and it is a wall of defense. So self-control is known by self-discipline, self-restraint, self-government, self-command, temperance, self-sacrifice. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who has groaned inwardly at the thought of trying yet again to have self-control over some area of my life. And I often thought that self-control was more like controlling our impulses or maybe what we say, relating it to food or the discipline of exercise. It wasn't until I started studying it that I realized it really starts in my mind. Some of those words may bring up a feeling of drudgery, despair, or discouragement. But what I want to share, what I've learned about the important part of living out biblical womanhood through the wonderful gift of self-control in our minds. Galatians 5:22-23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." The fruit of the Spirit, this fruit of the Spirit, enables us to live out and fulfill the other fruit. Self-control encompasses so many areas of our life. And as I prayed for help on how to tackle such a broad subject, I became bombarded with thoughts, and most of them negative. For example, I can't do this, it is too big, I am not skilled enough, there's someone else that could do it better. I had my answer, thoughts. So did you know that we can have anywhere from 6,000 to 70,000 thoughts a day? This is where we are called to be active thinkers. We know that some thoughts come from the enemy of our souls and those we need to take to the foot of the cross and remember who we are in Jesus. Philippians 4:8 tells us, "Finally, sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." Considering the thoughts we choose, where so many things are given birth, the Bible is full of instruction and warning about guarding our hearts and paying attention to what we are thinking. As I studied this, I found that God has shown self-control to be a safeguard, a friend that can be trusted. This attribute of the Christian, by the world's standard, is not popular. I mean, who would not want to daydream all day, fantasize about things we desire or things we don't have, harbor resentment or bitterness, compare ourselves to another girl or woman, or if we're married, be tempted to compare our husbands to another? We choose to think about these things. And if God requires that we are self-controlled in our thoughts, that means it is attainable. Praise the Lord that when he requires something of us, he always provides a way. That also means he equips us for this task, which I will touch on later. Hebrews 13:21 tells us, "Now may the God of peace equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen." Having self-control is a divine grace given to us by God, and it is not something that we can achieve by our own power or strength. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man." God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. This verse, as I sat and thought about it, brought me much comfort. Jesus, our Savior, had thoughts just as we do, but without sin. He took his thoughts captive, and he gave them to the Father and spoke the word against the lies of our adversary, the devil, and always sought the will of the Father for his life. Jesus is our example. We take everything to the cross and filter it through the word. Because the enemy, who is real and crouching at our door, he's waiting to overtake us. God has provided a way out. As I mentioned before, the strength needed to have self-control over our thoughts must come from the Holy Spirit. In fact, the strength for this monumental task is initiated by the Holy Spirit and sustained by him. Jesus is our better strength. Pastor Brian taught on that very subject, and I encourage you to go listen to that message. I also listened to two of our Living Out Biblical Womanhood podcast episodes where they discussed helping our kids with self-controlled emotions and one for us and our emotions. They are full of wisdom and application. I encourage you to go listen to those as well. It will be effort and toil to take our thoughts captive, to recognize the lies, to weed them out, as it were, and then replace them with the truth. But it is worth the endeavor. When we take our thoughts captive and we filter them through the word, we glorify God. We love him and we honor him. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "So whether you eat or drink or think, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." This virtue of self-control is a grace given to us, and it's a way for us to love God. Think of self-control as a wall of defense. Again, God gives this to us as a protection. And Proverbs 25:28 says, "A person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls." In ancient times, walls surrounded the city. There was an outer wall and an inner wall. Your mind is that city, and there needs to be a protective barrier between you and the enemy. Self-control is that protective barrier. Just as a city could be attacked, we are also going to be attacked. Remember, Jesus said, "In this world, you will have trouble." That means Satan will use catapults to throw lies over your wall of defense. He may try sneak attacks or a battery of assaults one after the other to get you to give up because it seems hopeless. We all know that lies can make it past the wall sometimes, and that got me thinking, and I decided to do some investigating. What I found was fascinating. The Theodosian Wall in Constantinople, now Istanbul, Turkey, is one of the oldest cities and walls. This walled city withstood multiple sieges over hundreds of years. This is a cross-section of that wall from the previous slide. The enemy encountered 200 feet of protection from the moat to the massive inner wall, which was 16 feet thick. Finally, after 800 years, the city's defenses were breached by the Knights of the Fourth Crusade in the year 1204. Here's the part that gave me pause. The attackers got in through a carelessly left open door, and not because the fortifications themselves had failed. How many times have I left my mind's door carelessly open? Remember earlier when I said the enemy, the devil, is prowling around at night and day looking for a way in? Well, he found it. So over a lie goes, or it has snuck in through that door that was left open, and now it's on the outer wall. We will call this lie a seed. Maybe there's a new guard on the wall, and he just looks past this thing that looks harmless. The seed sits there for a while, gets kicked around, and eventually it's moved, and it makes its way into the inner wall. Again, this seems harmless, so it keeps getting ignored. Satan is biding his time. The seed gets past the inner wall and is now in the city, waiting for the right conditions to take root and sprout. This thought that seemed harmless now might have an extensive root system that will need to be thoroughly dug out and replaced by something life-giving, and the Holy Spirit is what enables us to take on such a task. Restraint, self-control, self-sacrifice, self-discipline, however you want to reference it, it is a choice. It is not on our own strength. It is a protection. It is a divine grace given by God and a way to love God. It is not easy, and it is one that will require intention and struggle, but with the help from the Holy Spirit, it is attainable by all of us. Okay, so our second point, practically, how are we going to do this? We're going to identify the and battle. How is self-control attainable? We identify those lies and we battle them with the truth. We choose to be accountable and in fellowship with other believers. We guard our thoughts. We cultivate a thankful heart and renew our minds daily. We must choose to look to Jesus, trusting him for grace and mercy. We must also be vigilant and depend on the Holy Spirit for strength and endurance needed for the onslaught of thoughts that will happen as soon as we wake for the day. We are looking to Christ and working with the Holy Spirit to lead ourselves. Daily, moment by moment for some of us, we must take our thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:4 through 5 says, "The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ." Here's a window into my mind and thoughts that I've had. I've had some moments when someone, often a family member, has said something to me, and somehow it's landed in a way that I did not like. I have often thought and said hurtful words. Or my husband and I have had a disagreement, and he shared his thoughts with me, and I did not like it. I am tempted to, and have, either argued back or given the cold shoulder, and all of this began in my mind and heart. Sometimes we haven't been able to work things out immediately, and this has been a prime opportunity for the enemy to try to wiggle in and create division between my husband and I through thoughts that I normally wouldn't have, such as, "I'm a terrible wife, I'm a bad friend to him, this is all your fault, why can't you just be better?" These are thoughts I need to take captive and repent for any wrong I'm responsible for, and ask for forgiveness, but not perseverate on the negative, untrue, or dishonoring thoughts. My thought life was something I needed help with when I had small children. I would routinely compare myself to other moms, and that was crushing. Instead of taking my thoughts to the Lord about how and what I was thinking, I would let them stick to me and weigh me down. Maybe it's a friendship that has had a misunderstanding, and I've created this dialogue in my mind about how the conversation will go, and pretty soon I'm more worked up about it, and I haven't even had a conversation yet. I need to work through the thoughts that can be destructive and come to the person from a place of humility and understanding. When I was a young woman, I would battle with, "Am I enough? Does anyone see me? or why am I feeling this way? And I don't even know how to articulate what I'm feeling or thinking. I was saturated with uncontrolled thoughts and emotions. When social media became more prevalent, I would spend time on there, more time than I care to admit. And there were and are consequences to this. My thoughts after I consumed pictures and words sometimes left me empty and discontent with what I had. And then this would spill over into my real life negatively, dwelling on what if only, or this isn't the way it's supposed to be, scenarios led me to become sad, despondent, or discontent. In all of these examples, I needed to be self-controlled in my thought life. Psalm 1 is a wonderful picture of what it looks like trusting the Lord with our thoughts and emotions. Blessed is the woman who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but her delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law she meditates day and night. She is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that she does, she prospers. Lest you think I have this all figured out, let me assure you, I still need to daily combat thoughts that can so easily slip in. I stop and ask, is this true? Then I recall verses that I have memorized, or I write out new ones and keep them front and center to meditate on. We need to do this in our minds with intention and frequency. This has also helped me to, enabled me to help my husband and children, who each have their own battles of the mind. I can help them identify the lie and wash them with the truth of God's ever-present word. I can come alongside them. We can help one another because sometimes the lie that is roaring so loudly on repeat in our sister's or brother's mind is one where we may have a verse to share, a word of comfort, or just quietly being present in their time of need. As Brian shared from a previous sermon, we cannot be a part of the body if we are apart from the body. God gave us his word, and then he gave us one another to help. Sometimes we get trapped in thinking, I am the only one who has struggled with this. There is someone who has gone through what you have experienced and can come alongside you. We must choose to stay close to God by reading his word, letting it wash over us and renew our minds. We must choose to stay close to the body of believers to be loved, corrected, and built up. Grace Beldock reminded us back in January, getting wise counsel from trusted people is good for us. Go listen to her teaching again for encouragement. There are questions we need to be asking ourselves honestly and regularly, and be ready to obey God's word. The first question comes from Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. The question is, am I guarding my thoughts? If we go back to Philippians 4:8 and look at the first part, whatever is true, and pause there for a moment and take the thought we had and measure it, is this true? Is it? Let's take a thought that I've had regarding many situations in my life. I can't do that. It's too hard. I don't know how. I'll probably fail. And I'm not really good at anything anyway, so why try? Ouch. I do not like admitting that I have had those thoughts. There is also the other side, which is, I can do this by myself, I don't need anyone's help, I shouldn't need anyone's help, or I just have to figure this out on my own. Well, let's do something about that line of thinking. And since I enjoy gardening, we'll use that as an example. There was a time when I felt like I was a complete failure at gardening. I had a black thumb, not a green one. I had hopes, high hopes of starting seeds, but not always the knowledge of what each seed required. It was hard, and I often gave up following that, I don't know how, I'll probably fail line of thinking. What if I went the other way of thinking and I said, I can plant this garden all by myself. I don't need any help. I can do all the planting, harvesting, preserving myself. You could, but let's just take that to its logical end. All things need tending to. You may soon realize there is just not enough of you to do everything that is required, like pulling the weeds that get blown in by the wind. Or maybe you are standing in miserable thoughts and miserable feelings. It is much easier just to sit there looking at miserable weeds overtaking your beautiful flower or food garden, instead of getting in there with Jesus, pulling the weeds, and replacing them with something beautiful or nourishing. Jesus wants to be with us as we tackle these thoughts. Imagine you and him in the garden of your mind, together working on digging up the weeds and planting the new thoughts that blossom into honor and glory for him. It will be a beautiful place. And like tending to all things that grow, this takes time, effort, and patience. He is the one who causes all noble things to grow. All things are sustained by him. And so with him, you can only grow more and more like in your character, like Jesus. Additionally, are you willing to be cultivated by the Lord through trials of many kinds? Are you willing to be pruned, to have areas of your life cut off so that you can grow even more vigorously? As a child, I was pruned by my parents, aunts, uncles, babysitters. They would correct poor behavior, keeping my best interest in mind. As I matured, I would get more pruning from employers by the way of quarterly or yearly reviews. In my adulthood, I've had a couple of dear women call me out on areas of my life that needed attention. Sometimes it hurts to be pruned and feels incredibly terrifying. But when I look back on those moments now, I am grateful that they loved me enough to say something. They told me what I did, and there was the pruning moment. I have two options: accept what they said and ask for forgiveness and allow God to prune away the broken, dead part of me, or to look at that branch as if nothing were wrong with it and go on my merry way to injure someone else or myself with it. Cultivation through trials produces strength and a sturdy character in Jesus. Gratitude is a posture we take when we give thanks that God is always providing a way in the wilderness. Off and on, I've kept a journal with small and big things that I'm thankful for. Here are a few examples from a 2011 journal. Happy baby Joshua in the morning, my husband calling or texting to see how I am, my kids laughing together, character training. From a 2023 journal, sharing trials of life, intense grief, bright morning sunlight, picking peaches with my kids. These short descriptions of gratitude remind me to cultivate a thankful heart and lean on the Lord who is sovereign over all. Willingly, let God have every part of your life, including your thoughts and emotions, to cultivate gratitude. Self-control with our thoughts and emotions is for our protection. I am in awe of the powerful force of water. I thought of the verses in Proverbs 8, 27 through 30, which, referring to wisdom, says, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out on the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundaries so the waters would not overstep his command. And when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was constantly at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world and delighting in mankind. The ocean in the winter season can be very dangerous, and much larger waves starting thousands of miles out at sea and finally finding the shore and crashing mightily upon it. I thought about the dangers of not taking our thoughts captive, and the image of a rip current came to mind. Our minds can be calm like summer days with peaceful lapping waves, and in some seasons of life, these same waves can pummel our minds with high surf and powerful shore break. Not taking our thoughts captive can be like that dangerous rip current or crashing wave. Unruly thoughts can arise from anywhere. Exposure to social media, Snapchat, TikTok, scrolling Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, reading the news constantly, reading books, magazines, while not always negative, could be types of rip currents that, if allowed unfettered access to our mind, can be dangerous. If you don't know how to get out of the rip current, you're likely to drown from mental fatigue from swimming in that current. You'll be carried far away from where the Lord wants your thoughts to be. You will need to know how to get out of that current of thinking, and better yet, how to avoid that rip current altogether. Guarding our thoughts is a way to keep out of the current. Not taking our thoughts and emotions to the Lord is like being carried away on that swift rip current. Referring back to Proverbs and the boundary God placed on the water, God has given us a boundary when it comes to our thoughts. We are called to bring those under control with the strength of the Holy Spirit, always in dependence on the one who has a better strength. As you begin to master your thoughts and emotions with the Holy Spirit, you can lead them where you want them to go, not the other way around. Wisdom and protection come when we guard our thoughts. We are called to renew our minds daily. Romans 12:2 tells us, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect." When we are transformed by the daily habit of reading God's word and putting it into practice, we will not be conformed to what the world would say about a matter. The battle for your mind is daily, and one where the enemy is always on the prowl to find a foothold so he can set up a stronghold in your mind. God has given us his weapons for this battle, and he tells us how to use them. This will require much effort and toil on our part. Colossians 1:29 reminds us, "For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me." Anything that is worth doing always requires daily action and perseverance. For example, growing food requires much time and effort. The grower does not plant the seed and walk away hoping all will work out and come back to reap a harvest. No, they will check on the seed, its water needs, perhaps protection from strong winds, a cold night, or a creature that would like to have it for their meal. What a wonderful way to think about how God cares for us and does not leave us to figure this out on our own. He gives us the weapons and tools needed to combat our disobedient thoughts or emotions and take them captive. We need to be women who think and act on God's word. When a thought or emotion threatens to rip us out to the chaotic waters, we need to set our minds firmly on Christ and think true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent thoughts. When we stop a thought or emotion and ask, "Is this true, right, or honoring?" we will build up a track record with the Holy Spirit needed to fight these spiritual battles of the mind. Here's some questions that you can ask yourself. Am I guarding my thoughts? Am I guarding my time? Am I eager to have a disciplined mind? Self-control of the thoughts and emotions is attainable. The God of the universe looks at you, loves you dearly, and gives you his strength through his Holy Spirit and weapons to bring disobedient thoughts under control. Our part is the daily meeting with him, deep dependence, and to renew and set our minds on things above. Okay, our third point, a fruit-filled life. There will be benefits in having self-controlled thoughts, protection, a joyful heart, and much fruit in our lives. My marriage is guarded. Friendships and relationships are protected. Protection with clarity of mind instead of muddled thinking when we keep our thoughts controlled with the help of the Holy Spirit. A joyful heart in the life that God gave us, and enjoyment in him when we are in the boundaries he has placed for us. When we are in the boundaries God has drawn for us, we flourish. We choose to be content. We choose to cultivate gratitude and thankfulness. This does not mean that it is always easy, but it is safe because God is always looking out for us like the one who watches their garden. Acts 2:28 is a boundary verse for my life. You have shown me the way of life, and you will fill me with the joy of your presence. Continuously speak truth to yourself by finding it in the Bible. God's word is living, active, and relevant, and he gave it to us to help us in our time of need because he knows we are but dust. Philippians 1:6 says, "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." Repeatedly, eagerly, and willfully renew your mind in Christ, and you will start to see the fruit of new habits and patterns emerging. Those old patterns will die. As you wash yourself in the word through prayer and daily reading, you will have the energy needed for God's purposes in your life. Are you willing to be mastered by Jesus? To be pruned for vigorous new growth? Being mastered by Jesus means protection, a joyful heart, and much fruit. John 15:5 says, "Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." There will be towering challenges and vast opportunities in our pursuit of gaining self-control through our thoughts and emotions. Let me briefly restate that the discipline of self-control is a safeguard. It's a way to love God. Daily, deep dependence on the Holy Spirit to strengthen you as you lead your heart, thoughts, and emotions by renewing your mind with the Word of God. Let us choose today who we will be mastered by, Jesus. Rejoice in His strength. Praise Him for His love. Thank you for coming alongside me as we learn how to be self-controlled in our thoughts to the glory of God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us your word and your strength. Help us to be women that love your word and that honor you with our thoughts by identifying the lies and using your word to battle them. To be women that value being in fellowship with each other and being accountable. Thank you, Lord, that you tell us how to guard our hearts and how to cultivate gratefulness. I pray we would be women who would renew our minds, trusting you for all that each day holds, for long-lasting fruit, and all for your glory, Lord. In your name, amen.